Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which is to death, sin which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Again, it shows us who we are and who you are. And I pray, God, now during this time that you would till the soil of our hearts, cause it to be soft to receive your word, that it would bear fruit. Lord, I pray that for myself, you would fill me afresh with your spirit, that I would be like that sail in the wind, responding to as you're leading me, as you feed this group of people, your sheep. So God be glorified during this time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go back all the way to the 60s, and then early parts of the 70s as well, there was a social prophet that most of us really liked. He had a lot of commentary on what was happening in the average person's life, and this social prophet's name was Bob Dylan. Okay? You know, some of us old school people know who Bob Dylan was. I admit right now, the guy couldn't sing, right? Just like Willie Nelson, you can say what you want, Willie can't sing. But you love both of them, right? You love both of them. You just got to love those two guys. And, you know, even when I wasn't a country fan, if somebody said something bad about Willie, we'll wait and time out here. You can't talk like that about Willie Nelson. Well, Bob Dylan had a song that probably sums up Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23, the best. And the name of the song was called "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And here's some of the words, okay? You may be a state trooper, you might be a young Turk. You may be the head of some big TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. We're all slaves, whether we like that or not. And when you first hear that word, doesn't your flesh kind of, whoa, that's kind of a sharp word to use, Dan. Well, it's a biblical word. We don't like it because we're so independent. But everybody serves somebody. That's what Romans 6, 15 through 23 says. Justin Trudeau, President Biden, the librarian in La Crescent. Everybody serves somebody. Everybody in the past has served somebody. Hitler, Kennedy, doesn't matter. Everybody has serves somebody. Because that's what God's word teaches us. And what we find is this, that the result of God's grace is to make us slaves of righteousness, not slaves of sin. Now what we find in this Romans chapter 6 is that there's two arguments that are happening. One starts in verse 1 and the second in verse 15. And what we find in verse 1 is the response is, you can go on sinning because if the more you sin, the more grace comes to us. Okay? So now what they're saying in verse 15, it says, no, listen, you don't sin so that grace may abound, but you sin because grace has replaced the law. Take a look. Here's the first question. You know, so many times we read too fast. We've got to slow down. We think it's the same question, but it's not. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might abound? That's in response to chapter 5, the end of chapter 5. And then verse 15 today. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Are you crazy? What? That's his response. Because what was happening was this. The argument for some of the people might have been, listen, we're not under the law's domain anymore. Okay? We don't have to worry about condemnation that comes from the law. Because we're under grace. So we can live any way we want. Because we're under grace. That was the argument he's dealing with. And I have heard Christians have that argument today. They've said, listen, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. So it really doesn't matter how we live. Have you read Romans chapter 6, 15 to 23? Because he deals with that. You see, not under the law means that God liberated you from the penalty and the power of sin. That's what it means we're not under the law. Not that you can just live your life any way you want. We're not under the law because God has liberated us. Here's the truth. Everyone is born a slave to sin. Everyone. Take a look at God's word. This is Jesus speaking. John 8:34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. We don't like that term, as I said. We get uncomfortable with it. It says in Romans earlier, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means what? All are slaves to sin. Everybody is born a slave to sin. And we're not unwilling to be slaves to sin. We like sin. I mean, we delight in sin. It's fun. We say, hey, this sin isn't so bad. Because we have this nature in Adam that we sin and it's natural for us. And we don't really mind it. We don't care about other things. That's the picture that we have because we're addicted to sin. We're addicted to it. We're addicted to something that will ultimately destroy us because we're slaves to sin. And see, we are too quick to classify slaves of sin as people who are struggling with maybe an alcohol or drug addiction or pornography addiction, or we'll say, well, yeah, but we could also maybe kind of include things like immorality, greed, but I don't have any of those. We're still slaves to sin because good things can become enemy of the best. Things that can cause us to put all our attention on that thing rather than living in a way that honors God. And when we focus on these things, what happens is in the process, do we step on people? When we're going for our career, and that's what we're worshiping almost, our career, and we don't care what it takes to get there. We sin along the way. Good things get in the way of the best. And our hearts are impure as we pursue these things. So we're slaves of sin. I was talking to John Young earlier this week, and he was saying how, he got to a point where when he was in, was that college or high school? When you were college, where he was swimming competitively. And so what happened was is he was worried about winning whatever race it was and breaking records. And he said this. He said, and you know, I got to a point in my life where I realized I didn't love swimming like I used to. Something good. Something good that becomes all-consuming and you become a slave to it. You become a slave to it. See, that's what Paul is getting at here. Everyone is enslaved by sin. It has different flavors. It looks different ways. But that's the bottom line. We're all enslaved to sin, and that's the way we were born. And what Scripture shows us is this, is that no matter what flavor, what subcategory there is, there are only two masters in this world throughout all time. There's only two masters. One is Satan and sin, and one is the Lord and righteousness, like Dylan said. Serving either the devil or you're serving the Lord, but you're serving someone. And what Jesus said is, of these two masters, you can't serve both of them at the same time. You can't do it. You can only serve one. Take a look at God's word again. Romans 6:16-20. 16, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Then we jump down to verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And then Matthew 6, 24, Jesus speaking, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, this is not saying that money is evil. He's talking about what we're talking about, greed. Focusing on those things instead of God. Money isn't evil, but love of money is. And he's saying, you know what? No, you can't serve both masters. It's not possible. That's what Jesus is saying here. And what he's saying is slavery to one is freedom from another. Here's what I mean. When you were a slave to sin, you didn't care about things of God. That's what he's saying here. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't care what God thought. And if you did, you pushed it aside. You were free from righteousness, but you were bound to sin. That's the master you were serving, so you were free on this other side. You didn't care about those things. They didn't matter. You weren't worried about them. You were free. And he's saying the exact opposite. Now, if you're a slave to righteousness, then you've been set free from your bondage to sin. Your penalty has been paid. The power of sin has been broken. And the reign of sin is in your life is done. See, that's what happens. So that means that you can delight in the things that honor God. That's what your focus is, and you're free from these other things. You don't want to do them. You don't want to delight in them. The point of this particular text is interesting because you would think that the point would be that a slave has to obey the master. That's not the point here. What he's saying, what Paul is focusing in on is this, that the master you obey shows whose slave you are. The master you obey shows whose slave you are. That's the point that he is making. And as a Christian, if you have received the gift of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, you're not putting any hope in your works to get you right with God. If you've done that, then your choice of masters has already been made for you. God made it for you. And the choice of your masters is righteousness in Jesus. Take a look at God's word. Romans 6, 17 through 19. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. He's apologizing for using the shocking term slavery, but he's basically saying, you need to get the picture of what this really is. You're just taking this too lightly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use something that's going to shock you. And I'm going to use this term. I read somewhere that in the Roman Empire, one-third of the people were slaves. And so Paul is speaking here, and he's probably speaking to slaves in part. And he's saying, you have to become a slave to righteousness. And it shocked them. You can't use that term. And it made us uncomfortable when I initially said it. You're a slave. You're a slave to someone. And that's what Paul's getting to. He's saying, no, I'm going to use this because I need you to see the seriousness of this. I need you to get your head around this. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, 19b through 20, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You were purchased by Jesus. He purchased you out of the slavery of sin, and he is now your master. So you are under the slavery of righteousness. Under Christ. That's the picture that we see here. You see, there was a positional truth that we learned about last week in verses 1 through 14. It said, listen, here's what happened. You have to get this. You have to understand this, that you were crucified with Christ. You were raised with Christ. And that means you have a new life. Positionally, this is true because I wasn't even born when Jesus died. But positionally, I died with Christ. Positionally, I was raised with Christ. And now I have a new life. And what they were teaching us last week is, listen, you need to live like that. You need to live Like you have a new life. Sin doesn't have control over you anymore. That's the point he was making there. He was talking about believers who were contemplating a lifestyle of sin. And now we come to this section of Scripture. 15 through 23, he said, okay, in the first 14 verses, you have a new life. And in these verses, he's saying, and you have a new master. You have a new master. You have a new life, you have a new master. You are a slave to righteousness. You're a slave to Christ. That's the picture we see. And these two slaveries happen at birth. When you think about it, everyone is born into slavery. When you were physically born, you became a slave of sin. And when, by God's grace, you were born again, you became a slave to righteousness. That's what happened. God made the choice for you. He says, you know what? If you're a believer, then you have a new master, and his name is Jesus, and your pursuit is righteousness, not sin. And that's the truth. So he's saying, this is true. Live positionally in a new life. Live positionally as a slave to righteousness. That's what Paul is talking about here. He says, now, if because you have a new life and because you have a new master, your relationship to sin cannot be the same. It can't be the same. So your relationship with sin is different. Sin's power has been broken. Its dominion has been broken over you. So you can't have the same relationship to sin that you used to have before you became a slave of righteousness. Take a look at God's word again. Romans 6, 21 through 23. This is interesting before we get there. Because you have the Romans road that you walk down when you want to share your faith with someone. You know, you start out with Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then you come to Romans 6, 23. And that's the second one. We use it for evangelism, but the focus of that verse is for believers. The focus of that verse is for believers. So look at this. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things by which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to wait to get to that next section of Scripture here. As I said, verses 1 through 14 were written to the believer that they were contemplating a lifestyle of sin. He said, you can't do that. Because you have a whole new life. You're a new creation in Christ. You can't do that. That's crazy talk. And now in these verses from 15 to 23, it's this, he's addressing Christians who are occasionally wanting to depart into sin. It's not that bad. I'll just let it go. And he's saying, whoa, 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 time out. Time out. You have a new master. We know who you obey, who your master is by who you obey. He's saying, you know what? In verse 23, he's saying, this is for Christians who are toying with sin. You know, goes back to where it started. We're under grace now, not under the law. We can live any way we want. So if I play with sin a little bit, it's not that bad. I can control it anyway. Isn't that the famous last words? I can control it. It's just a little bit of pornography. I'll never get as bad. And all of a sudden, it's worse and worse. We can control it. No, we can't. And what Paul is saying here is he said, remember when you were in that realm? Remember that? For me, it's easy because there was a time when I came to know Christ. I was 22 years old, and I was lost. I had a drug and alcohol problem. And by God's grace, he drew me to himself. And I remember what it was like before I knew Jesus. I remember it. Sitting alone, just empty, fearful, wondering where I'm going to get the next high. Not just desolate. I remember that. Some of you that were raised in Christian homes, it won't be that drastic, but it's still true. You were a slave to sin. And then God, by his grace and his mercy, bought you with a price, the cross, Jesus Christ. and now you are a slave to righteousness. What we found is this, is that Paul is saying, what did you gain when sin was your master? Think back about that, Dan. What did you really gain? Think about it. And then what he's doing is he's comparing. So when you were in sin, Dan, when it was your master, you got wages for it. You were paid something. So you can either have wages for work that you do, or you can have a free gift from God. You can be a slave to sin, Dan, or you can be a slave to God. You can get your final paycheck, Dan, from your wages of sin, and you can be eternally separated from God in hell. Or you can receive this gift of salvation and spend eternity in heaven with God. And he's saying, think about that, Christians. Think about that. Do you really want to go back to sin and where it brought you? You're still a Christian, you're still a believer, but do you want to go back to that? Really? Think about that. You're ashamed of that now. And you want to go back to that? May it never be. May it never be. You've left that. I've given you the power to walk away. Don't go back to it. That's why I put 2 Peter 2:21-22. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true prophet says, proverb says, has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. He's saying, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you return to the slavery that you were liberated from? What we're seeing here is we're seeing a pattern in Romans chapter 6. Remember, I said it from 1 through 5, God was laying the foundation for our justification. He's saying, here's who you are. You're sinners, every one of you, and you're separated from God. There's nothing you can do about it. And so God made a way. He provided Christ. And then through God's grace and mercy, he draws you to himself. And then in chapter 6, something is happening. What God is basically saying is, those who I have justified, those who I have saved, those of you who I have imputed Christ's righteousness to, okay? Those people that I have done that to, I will also sanctify. I will also make you more like Christ. I will also impart righteousness to you. God is saying that I drew you to myself. I granted you the gift of salvation, and I don't stop there. I'm going to work in you and make you more like Christ. That's what he's rolling over here in Romans chapter 6. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the love of our God. It's incredible. Whoever God saves, he makes more like Christ. He sanctifies us. He does a work in us. But here's the deal. Sanctification is not automatic. And I think a lot of Christians live like that. You know, you get saved and you step back and you say, okay, God, let her rip. Make me more like Jesus. I'm in the back seat. Jesus is driving. And that's your excuse to sin? Say, no. What we see is that sanctification is not automatic. But God's grace gives us the power to wholeheartedly obey God. Take a look at God's word again. 6:19. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity, presented, there was an activity. You searched out sin. You looked for ways to do things that did not honor God. You delighted in it. Say, I didn't delight in my sin. Yes, you did. We're addicted to sin before we come to Christ. And that's a picture that we have. We presented our members. We put an effort into sinning. That's what we did. That's what we did. I had to go get the drugs. Okay? They didn't just show up at my door. So I had to put effort in. I presented my body, is what I did. I presented my body to be a slave to impurity And I love this. And to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. What a picture of sin in our lives. As we sin at this level, we think, I'll never sin. I'll never go down below that. And, you know, pornography is the best picture. But it's just, it's not very bad stuff. And we view that. And before you know it, that doesn't satisfy enough. So we got to view some more deeper stuff. And then even deeper yet. And before you know it, we're doing things we never thought we would do. And that's the progress of sin. It just brings us down. We get more and more involved in it. And it destroys us. Destroys us. And that's what the scripture is saying. It's saying, listen, you were enslaved to sin, and this is what it did. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. He's saying, there's an effort on your part. Present your bodies to righteousness. Just like you presented your bodies to impurity and you sought out sin, seek righteousness. Put yourself in a place where you can become more like Christ. It goes back to the grace with blisters, sanctification. It's God's work in us, but there's also work on our part. And he's saying, listen, just as sin you go deeper and deeper, righteousness is the same way. As you seek to be more like Christ, you'll become more like Christ by God's grace and mercy, and you want it more and more and more and more. That's why you can look at your life if you're a believer and you can see, here's where I was at and here's where I'm at now, and you can see what God has done because you went from righteousness to holiness and you become more and more like Christ. He's saying the reverse of what sin does, that's what happens when you present your bodies to God for the sake of righteousness. And he's saying, you know what? You have the power to resist temptation and sin. You have the power. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. God has broken your slavery to sin. You do not have to walk in sin. And I love this, what Paul is saying here as well, as he's saying, remember what you used to do. That's a real lesson for all of us, that when you, by God's grace, received that gift of salvation, there were sins that were strongholds in your life before. Be careful for those, especially as you try to walk with God, because that will draw you. That had a stronghold in your life, and so you lean towards that. You want that, and that's the area that the devil will tempt you in. He's saying, be careful. Remember what that, you used to like those things, but now you're ashamed of them. Don't go back to that. So we have a tendency to fall back into the pattern of sins that we had before we came to know Christ. And he's saying, be careful. Guard against that. Resist temptation. That's presenting your members to righteousness. I'm going to resist temptation. I'm going to pursue holiness. Now, when we talk about resisting temptation, it does not mean that we're sinless. We talked about this last week, that when we, by God's grace, receive the gift of salvation, that old man is still there. He's still fighting. He's still tempting us and trying to draw us away from God. So there's this struggle. What I want to do, I'm not doing. Paul deals with that in chapter 7. He's saying, you know what? If you understand this, you're not going to be sinless. You're going to struggle. That's part of the human condition. You won't be sinless, but you will sin less. You will sin less because you want to honor God. I don't want to live in that. I don't want to do those things. I know they don't honor you, God. And when we do sin, we feel worse. We feel worse about our sin. You know, why? Because we love God. We love righteousness and we hate sin. You know those things that I never thought were sin, they never bothered me before? And then I became a Christian and all of a sudden as God worked in me, he started showing me things that before I probably wouldn't have even classified as sin. Pride. Pride is one that hides all the time, all over the place. It's hiding. And, you know, you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden something happens in your life, and then God reveals, Dan, that was very prideful what you did, and your heart is broken because you know that doesn't honor God. And he starts working in us. So we sin less. I'm praising God. I'm praising God for that. But we're still going to sin, and it's going to be covered by grace. But we struggle. I love this statement. It says, you aren't what you want to be. You aren't what you're going to be. But thank God you aren't what you used to be. I am. I am. Thank you, Jesus, for changing me. See, that's what he's talking about, this progression of holiness and seeking God and not delighting in sin or pursuing sin occasionally or whatever. We want to run away from it. Why would you go back to that? Why would you go back to what that bondage? Why would you do those types of things? You now have the power to pursue thoughts and attitudes and activities that God loves us to pursue, that honor him. We have that ability because the Spirit of God dwells within us, because God paid the penalty for sin, but he broke the power of sin. And he said, you're not in that realm anymore, Dan, and you have a new master. So walk in obedience, because you know what? You could tell whose master someone is by what they do. So pursue those things in your attitude and in your thoughts and in your actions that honor God. As you presented your members to sin, now present your members to God. You know, seek him, spend some time in his presence in your quiet times. I love the psalm for this week, the one we're praying through, because it just is so wonderful. It talks about this battle between good and evil. And one of the things it says here, just two verses, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How do we pursue righteousness? We delight ourselves in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Isn't that wonderful? Trust in the Lord. He's saying, listen, pursue these types of things. Pursue righteousness. Resist temptation. That's how we present our bodies as members to righteousness. And what happens is this, that if you live with those truths, who you are in Christ positionally, who your new master is, Jesus, and you want to pursue righteousness, you know what happens? God changes us. And the world will see. The world will see. Because they'll say, all this chaos is happening all around the world. I mean, are they going to enter into war over there or not? All this chaos is happening in America. And you're whistling while you're filling your gas tank at $7 a gallon? How can that be? How can you have that kind of peace? You shouldn't have that. You see, when we live like that, when we live as slaves to righteousness, then God changes us and impacts the world. The world sees there's something different. We want to become a church planting church. Okay? That's what God has laid on our hearts. And you know what? If all we do is talk about righteousness, but we don't look any different than the world, it won't work. It won't work. So what we need to do is, for us here, we need to desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And God changes us. And the world will see that there's something different about them. And they'll hunger and they'll want that. Because they're slaves to sin. They don't understand. That's what God is working here. And what it does is, it declares to the world, as John said a while back, that God's kingdom is this upside-down kingdom. You want joy? You want freedom? You want happiness? Become a slave. Where would that be, right? Okay, when you grow up, what do you want to be? I want to be a slave. How about you? Nobody has that on their list, right? But that's what the Word of God is saying. That's what the Word of God is saying. It's saying, listen, people. It's a crazy upside-down kingdom. Become a slave to righteousness. Because if we want to impact the world around us, here's the truth. Slaves of sin are not able to free themselves by their own efforts. You and I couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. We're not able to just say no to sin. Why? Because we're under bondage to sin. It's our master. Or it was. And so what happens is that we try to fight it in our own strength. You know, people are so rebellious against God in the flesh. I'm not going to be a servant to anybody. I'm not going to submit to God. I'm going to be my own person. I'm not a slave to anybody. How can you say that, Dan? Because Scripture says it. So they try to be free from sin by trying to master it. I can handle it. I'm not going to go as far as the other people do. As I said earlier, no, all of a sudden you're looking up from being down as low as you think you can go, and you go, how did I get here? Because you thought you could master sin and you can't. That's the truth. So the only way that you can get freedom from the slavery to sin is not by trying to master sin, but by changing your master. That's what Paul's saying. Change your master. If you're not a believer today, you can fight all you want. You're going to have times where you're going to have success, but ultimately you're not. You're not going to. And you're trying in your own strength that no sin is going to master me, and say, yeah, it will. So the only way, your only hope of breaking that enslavement to sin is getting a new master. That's why Jesus said, don't forget you've been purchased with a price. You're bought out of that slavery and by the precious blood of Christ. What a beautiful picture. And that's why only God can free us from our slavery to sin. Only God can do that. And when he does, he gives us a new nature. We're talking about that last week, verses 1 through 14. You can do things you couldn't do before because the Spirit of God dwells within you. You can resist sin. You can pursue holiness because the Spirit of God dwells within you. You are a new creation in Christ. And not only that, but you have a new master. Your old master is done. You have a new master, so you can, by God's grace, walk in what we would say is being slaves to righteousness. Take a look at God's word. Some verses that you all know. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Two masters. Isn't it? Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. This is an interesting statement. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, you want to do it your own way. I ain't going to do it. He's not going to be my master, my king. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose your master wisely. God grants the grace. And then finally, what Jesus said, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here's your beautiful, wonderful master, your loving, benevolent master. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. That's the kind of master I want. Not this cruel taskmaster called sin. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a savior. What a savior. You see, the result of God's grace is to make us slaves of righteousness, not slaves of sin. And what you have is this. You have the cross behind you that paid sin's penalty and broke sin's power over you. Sin no longer is your master. And then you look ahead and you think about what is awaiting you as a believer. You're going to spend eternity in heaven where there is no sin. None. And then there's today, where God has placed his Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you so that you can have daily victory over sin, daily victory pursuing righteousness. You see, God's got it all covered, past, present, future. He says, I've got it. Those who I save, those who I justify, I will sanctify. I provided a way. So brothers and sisters, present yourself to God as a slave to righteousness. Obey his word. You don't speak against God's word as if you have authority over it. If it says it in the word, then it's true, whether you like it or not. And look forward to life eternally that is free from all sin in the presence of our benevolent, loving Master and Savior and friend. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you. God, we fight so much to be enslaved to righteousness, God. We fight, our flesh fights so against it. And I ask you, first of all, to forgive me, forgive us. We have so many times gone back to the sin that enslaved us. So I pray, God, that you would grant us the grace to pursue righteousness. Lord, to leave that old sin behind. God, thank you for the work that you did for us and in us through the cross. Lord, I pray now that you would do such a work in this body that we would pursue righteousness in such a way that the lost world would look in and say, these people are different. Look at what they have. I wish I had it. God, would you do such a work in us that that would be obvious? And as you do, would you help us to give you all the glory as we delight in who you are, Lord? And we pray this in Jesus' beautiful name, and all God's people said, amen.